Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Take a listen to this.
What lessons have you learned from Iraq, and how specifically would you spread democracy abroad?
Specifically, we would make every effort possible to spread democracy abroad to those who want it.
Yes, but specifically, what would you do?
We're going to promote freedom, usher in democratic values and ideals, and fight terror-loving terrorists.
But again, and not to belabor the point, one specific thing.
Katie, I'd like to use one of my lifelines.
Amy Poehler as Katie Couric, with Tina Fey as Governor Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live in 2008. And Saturday Night Live is celebrating its 50th season this weekend. NBC's long-running late-night sketch show is marking the milestone with a three-hour special of former cast members and celebrity guests. But while some would argue the reality of US politics now is stranger than satire, how relevant is the show after half a century? Where Eric Deggans is a TV critic and media analyst with NPR Radio, and he joins me on the line. Eric, you're very welcome to the programme. Season 50 of Saturday Night Live, it kicked off in September to mixed reviews, I think it's fair to say. Has it turned into the type of show that people will watch but complain about?
It's always been the type of show that people watch and complain about. And I also think one thing that's true about Saturday Night Live is that it takes a little time for the writers to find their sea legs, so to speak. For me, at least, the first show of the new season after they've been on break over the summer is usually not great. It takes them a while. They usually have to do a couple shows before they really get used to the rhythm of making the show, and you start to see some really good work come out of them. But they've also kind of been in a rebuilding phase, where they had a lot of veterans leave a couple of years ago. A lot of the cast members are younger and haven't done the show as long. And I think they've really suffered for that. And they've had a hard time sort of figuring out what the show's take is on some modern American political developments. Mm.
And we might come to that question, you know, about how difficult it is to do this show effectively in the current setup. But it has a lot of capital in the bank, doesn't it? Because it did transform television comedy. It penetrated American culture. Then the list of comic actors that the show has produced is nothing short of astonishing, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Saturday Night Live has basically been the farm team for America's comedic establishment. From early stars like Chevy Chase and John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin, even though he wasn't a cast member, he was a friend of the show and was on the show a lot. Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal famously was supposed to be on the first one, got cut, but he wound up joining the cast later. Martin Short, all the way down to modern stars like Bowen Yang, who's just risen as a star, you know, much more recently. And of course, you noted Tina Fey and Amy Poehler in the clip that you played earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to do percentages, I would say you could easily say like 40% of the people who are considered comedy stars in Hollywood have some affiliation with Saturday Night Live.
I just want to come back to Tina Fey as Sarah Palin. And we played the clip, as you said, there in the beginning. That's one of your favorite impressions, I know. And for many of the rest of us, I mean, there was a time when we weren't quite sure who was who, you know, some of what Tina said as Sarah Palin became what Sarah said as Sarah Palin.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the best Saturday Night Live impressions take something that you've always suspected about a politician and elevate it comedically. And also it comes to define the politician in a way. Gerald Ford famously stumbled as he was coming off of an aircraft, and Chevy Chase took that stumble and made it the center of a quote-unquote impression where he didn't even really look or sound like Ford, but he just stumbled over everything and said he was Gerald Ford. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that captured something about Ford that the American people had already had always suspected, which was that he was kind of bumbling because of how they regarded him in the wake of the Watergate scandal. And it wasn't necessarily a fair thing to think about him, but it was something that I think the American people kind of felt about him. And similarly with Tina Fey and Sarah Palin, Sarah Palin came onto the scene very quickly. She was picked as a running mate for John McCain. And she seemed to have this propensity for offering a word salad that didn't really mean anything to cover herself when she was asked questions about things that she didn't know anything about. And she also didn't seem to have the kind of knowledge you would expect from somebody who was entering national politics. Mm-hmm. And she had a way of sort of trying to play up her sort of folksy, homespun Alaskan background. And so Tina Fey found a way, I remember when Sarah Palin was picked as McCain's running mate, people immediately started sending emails and messages saying Tina Fey should play her on Saturday Night Live because they look so much alike. People already saw that there was a similarity between the two of them. But Tina Fey also kind of nailed her voice. And more than that, she nailed that propensity that we saw that she would sort of try to use her cuteness and her image and a word salad to distract from the fact that she didn't exactly know what she was talking about, and it wasn't particularly successful. And yeah. So she captured this, and so now Tina Fey playing Sarah Palin famously said, you know, I can see Russia from my house, which was sort of a bastardization of something that Sarah Palin had actually said in an interview. She had implied that you could see Russia from Alaska, but Tina Fey turned it into I can see Russia from my house. And now a lot of people think Sarah Palin actually said that, although she never actually used those words.
It's extraordinary. It just shows the power of satire. And we have examples here in our own country, in Ireland, where a show like Saturday Night Live has the absolute power to shape how we see a public figure or a politician. And they will never escape that characterization.
Well, if the impression is telling, if they can't escape it because there is something that's true about it, about them. And so sometimes they'll try to get around that by being good sports and actually coming on the show, which Sarah Palin actually did. She came on the show and they had this funny moment where she, came out in the middle of a sketch and Tina Fey kind of jumped off stage and said bye, once she saw the real Sarah Palin. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were other politicians who actually came on the show after they had been impersonated. So that's one way the politician can try to take back a little bit of their image by coming on the show, showing they're a good sport, but also saying, hey, here's the real me. and I'm different.
I can laugh at myself, which often seems to be a strategy that they use. So just come then to current day politics, Donald Trump back in the White House. And I know during his first term, there was much said about how difficult it was to parody politics when it was so strange and off the wall. Are they running up against the same problem now?
Yeah, I think they do have a problem with Trump in that, in part, it's that some of the things that he is doing are so extreme that they're hard to make fun of, just period, especially now. I wonder what they're going to be able to say about what he's doing now, a parody, an impression that makes fun of some aspect of his personality when he is so much a cartoon on his own, and he is so adept at controlling his own image. They can do it in brief moments. You know, when Alec Baldwin first started doing an impression of Trump, I think he nailed something about Trump that hadn't quite been out there. And Trump wasn't nearly as extreme when Alec Baldwin was making fun of him as he is now. And James Austin Johnson, the guy who does him now, really expertly nails his sort of stream of consciousness way of, you know, it's a blend of narcissism and a lack of empathy where he can just say horrific things and do incredibly self-centered things sort of off the cuff. And in a way that, you know, it doesn't seem like he even notices what he's doing, but that wears thin. And James Austin Johnson has been doing that impression for a while now. And I don't think they found another thing that they can, I mean, and now, you know, it's not exactly what they're doing, but now it almost feels like he's just saying things that Trump could have easily said himself.
Eric, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us. That was Eric Deggans, TV critic and media analyst with NPR Radio.